And we are live on Blog Talk Radio. It's time for Sports Club. I'm your host, Jeremy the Impact York. Welcome in. Got a lot of fun things we're getting into. Happy opening day. There are, I think, 15 different baseball games that will happen from the start of today all the way till later. Also, today could be known as National. I know where two-thirds of my friends are right now, and that is called Major League Baseball Ballparks. Actually, where Cody is right now, he's out at the A's game. I hear he is petitioning that they actually make him the mascot. Probably get more people to show up. Plus, it couldn't hurt. I believe they have Chris something out there. I think he's going to do pretty well this year. But anyway, we'll get into some baseball a little later. We're going to talk some Georgia Swarm a little bit later on as well. Obviously, we'll talk some Falcons. There are tons and tons, speaking of elephants, tons and tons of NFL things to get into. We have the social media shout-out coming up. If you are listening to us on podcast, we definitely appreciate it. If you listen to us live, we appreciate that as well. If you get a chance, we would like you to go to the iTunes store. Give us a rating and review. Helps make this show more awesome, and we definitely appreciate it. And once we start getting a little more of those in, we will start giving out some swag. About time we started doing that. I'll show you guys what the shirts are going to look like pretty soon. Just had some new ones kind of mocked up. We're going to have some other stuff as well, some different opportunities. It's going to be a good time. But, so we're going to get into some stuff. Let's talk some baseball. Right? Let's talk some baseball. And I want to start by congratulating my Mets on their opening day win. People predict us to finish quite well. I don't know. I kind of want to see if we can keep the pitching staff intact. Sure. I want to congratulate my Mets for their 9-4 victory versus the Cardinals. I want to congratulate Giancarlo Stanton for hammering one to the opposite field for my Yankees as they beat the Blue Jays, they beat the Blue Jays 6-1. His first at bat went over the wall like that. Some other notable, let's just get the scores up. Can we do that? There we go. Some notables. We'll start at the bottom here. The Reds Nationals was postponed. The Pirates Tigers was postponed as well. Astros 4-1 over the Rangers. No big surprise there. Rangers, I don't think, are ready to compete. Orioles 3-2 over the Twins. I don't know how opening day is opening day. The Cubs with an 8-4 victory versus the Marlins. Shout out to a good buddy of myself and the show, Chris Coley, who apparently got to see that one. Got to see that one from his home in the Death Star. Don't worry, Chris. Nobody knows where that is. White Sox currently lead the Royals 14-4. Told you everybody the Royals, they weren't going to be very good this year. Going into the bottom of the 10th, that is 1-1 Padres and Brewers. The game we actually have on here is the local game, as the Phillies lead 5-3 over the Braves in the bottom of the 8th. Yeah, it looks like another pitching change is coming. It is still 5-3. Angels and Athletics are tied in the bottom of the 8th at 5, and the Red Sox trail the Rays 6-4 at the top of the 9th. I believe that game is about to go final. The game's later on tonight. You got Giants-Dodgers. Not sure. I think it's just about to start. 10 p.m. out here on the East Coast, you get Indians-Mariners and Rockies-Diamondbacks at 10. Do we have any? No. I just want to bring up the fact that my Yankees and my Mets are currently first place in their divisions, so all is right with the world. Now, baseball, there's tons and tons of stuff that are going to go on. I'm going to go ahead and give you my division winners. I'm going to give you mine and Cody's way too early, but I happen to be in a good baseball mood. World Series predictions. At least I was yesterday when I asked him. As far as the AL East, I think it's going to be between the Yankees and Boston. I think the Yankees are going to take it. That's not a homer pick either. I actually believe that. The AL Central, Cleveland should be the strongest one there, but don't discount somebody like the White Sox making a good push. Houston should take the AL West, even though maybe the Angels could compete, depending on how Otani and some of those other guys perform. In the NL East, give me Washington. And second place is going to come down between the Mets and Atlanta, possibly Philly. I mean, I don't know. Philly did add Arrieta. The NL Central, I guess the Cubs. The Cardinals are always going to be around, so you never know about that either. I'm going to go ahead and say the Cubs probably have a pretty good shot there. And in the NL West, give me the Dodgers with either the Giants or the Rockies as the second place team there. That would be my quick results there. Let me pull up what myself and Cody. There we go. We actually share a team in common. Cody's way too early. These were done yesterday around lunch. Cody's way too early, but I'm in a baseball mood. World Series pick preseason like this. He says the Astros over the Nationals. Okay, well, there's two teams I just picked anyway. I couldn't talk myself out of it. It sounds like a homer pick as well, but I have the Yankees over the Nationals. I think it's going to be six games. A lot can happen between there, but that is mine and Cody's way too early World Series picks, but hey, we were in a baseball mood, so that's how that works. Now, I'll keep updating you on the Braves score as it goes on. I think there is one out in the bottom of the eighth. Braves at bat. Let's move on to some football. I want to talk a little bit of football. We'll circle back around to it a little later as well. And I want to start with Johnny Manziel. You know, I told everybody, I, for one, would like to see Johnny Manziel back in the league. I think I'm not going to say deserves the chance, but I do think he, in a way, deserves the chance. I think he's a lot more different, a lot more disciplined than he was before. And if he doesn't get a shot back in the league this year, he's already said he's going to go to Canada. I think a solid year in Canada under slightly different rules, a lot bigger field. We're going to really see what he can do. But the reason I bring him up is not only did he throw at the San Diego University Pro Day, he threw at the Texas A&M, where he went, Pro Day. And the main reason that's significant is, once again, quite a few teams were there, but there was one team in particular, and once I mention them, you're going to go, oh, crap, they've outsmarted us again. Right, because there's one of two reasons why this team was there, and that was A, because, yeah, it makes sense when their incumbent is not there to pass it to somebody who is a good bridge to the next guy, or maybe Manziel's the next guy in the system, or B, they're outsmarting us all because they're making us think they have interest so that somebody else takes that shot and they've already scouted him, so they know. That team, which met with Johnny before the pro day and after the pro day, was the New England Patriots. Yep. I don't know if it was Belichick. It doesn't really matter. The fact that the Patriots are sniffing around the Manziel camp should have us all worried. They see something or they are pulling a big rib on us all. I think it's honestly that would be a pretty decent fit. Sit behind Brady for a minute. I really think this is Brady's last year. Manziel would bridge the gap between now and the next big quarterback, or maybe they play his style because maybe McDaniels takes over after this. This could be a McDaniels move. They may be helping set up things for next year without sacrificing this year. Just think about that. The Patriots are always a step ahead of everybody else, just like Metallica is with rock and heavy metal music. If you want to know where the league's going or where rock and metal music is going, you simply look at the Patriots and you look at Metallica. Don't believe me? Go look. The Michael Bennett saga, we know that he was accused and federally indicted on charges of pushing a, I believe, paraplegic 66-year-old woman at the Super Bowl a couple years ago, the one I believe his brother was in. Well, he last I've received word that he turned himself in and that his agent is not his agent, his lawyer is saying that his client is very innocent. Well, the thing is there's probably a lot of cameras. They're not going to indict you on charges if they don't think they have something. This could be up to like 7 years in jail or prison or something. It's a really, 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 really big charge they could do here. So the update on the Michael Bennett saga is he could be in some deep, deep crap, basically. He could really be in for it deep here. He needs to figure out, you know, get everything straight, whatever's going to happen with that. But update on the Michael Bennett saga, as promised, is he turned himself in. This thing is going to proceed to the next level, and we will keep you updated here as to what happens at that point. The Jets rescinded their offer to Ndamukong Suh. I'm not exactly sure if it was just they knew they were out of the running or they decided it wasn't against their, or it wasn't a move they really wanted to make. Whatever it was, they rescinded their offer, to which he ends up signing with the Rams for 1 year, $14 million, which is basically what he would have made in Miami anyway. Plus, he can test the market or they can franchise him a couple times and he'd still make pretty good money. So, you know, it is what it is. Update on the Braves game. A runner has scored for the Braves. It is 5-4. They have a runner at third. Their pitch got away from the catcher. The catcher tried to throw down to third. He threw it in the left field instead. So, in the bottom of the eighth, with, I believe, one out, it is 5-4. Runner on third. 0-1 count. I do not know who's at bat. I cannot see it from here. But, you know, here we go. There has actually been a pinch runner as well at third. But we'll get back to the Braves in a minute. The Steelers have tabled the contract talks with Bell. And I think just at this point, they're tired of just going back and forth and back and forth, and they're not making much progress. So at this point, the contract's there. Le'Veon can either sign the one-year tender, the franchise tag, the one he doesn't like, or he can sit out and go from there. The Cowboys signed Allen Hurns to a two-year, $12 million deal. I believe it is $7 million and then $5 million, or $5 million and then $7 million. Either way, I'll go ahead and say, because I've talked to a lot of Cowboys people and experts in the last few days, this is not a deal to initially replace Dez Bryant. This is to make the receiving corps better, because think of it this way. Dez is still technically the number one. Allen Hurns is your two. You've got Cole Beasley and Terrence Williams as the 3-4. You still have Switzer. So I have a couple other guys. You just signed Hunter, I think. This receiving core is definitely up there. Now, could that mean that they're not going to draft a wide receiver? No, it doesn't mean anything at all. It just means they added a really good receiver to pair with Dez Bryant, at least for now. And if contract talks with Dez don't go as well and they end up dropping him, Allen Hurns becomes your number one. Either way, this is the Cowboys covering themselves plus making their team better. I applaud it. And as somebody who covered Jacksonville a couple years ago, I look forward to having Allen Hurns with a star on the side of his helmet. I think he's earned that, and he definitely could do some really good things in Dallas. And the Braves have tied it on a single to center, so we've got 5-5 in the bottom of the eighth. Then again, it is the Phillies. You know, can't win everything Philadelphia. Pat McAfee has signed a deal with the WWE. He is going to do some panel work for NXT. And what they do is they have usually a moderator, some former wrestlers, and sometimes guests like they're going to have here with Pat to talk about the card. He's done some guest ring announcing earlier this month for them as well. But this is Pat McAfee not only building his brand, but doing a fantastic job with it. So shout out to him. Definitely shout out to him. And Pat McAfee, if you're listening out there, would love to have you on the show sometimes. You are fantastic. Fantastic. I did find out that the group of P. Diddy and Steph Curry have dropped from the ownership bidding for Carolina. I have heard that things are moving along. They are kind of down to some finalists, so to say. You can still kind of jump in. They haven't closed it off. But that the bidding war is up pretty high. And maybe $3.5 billion or something like, I don't know, it was something crazy to where Mr. Sean Combs and Mr. Steph Curry have decided, yeah, a little rich for our blood. So it is what it is there. Not to be outdone by his brother and the legal trouble he is in, Martellus Bennett has retired from the NFL. In the process of retiring, he is working on some kids' books, one of which he just had dropped just a week ago or so. I haven't seen it myself, but I have heard other people's reviews of it. They say he's actually a pretty good kids' book writer. So, you know, more power to you, Martellus. Get healthy and look forward to these books to help kids read and everything. Tony Romo played in his first PGA event. He was actually doing pretty good on the first day. Didn't do half bad on the second day. He didn't make the cut. So after two rounds, his weekend was over. Ends up finishing the tournament towards the end. But he got in as an amateur on a sponsorship exemption. This is definitely not going to be the last time. We're going to see him in a lot more PGA events. At some point, he's going to be pro. And he's not a bad golfer. Definitely not a bad golfer. So good luck to you, Tony. Love to have you on the show as well. We can definitely talk about that. But instead, I want to shift to talk about the Georgia Swarm. Now, big announcement here. At the end of April, which is the season finale fan appreciation game, the Swarm have booked Lifehouse. Yeah. You guys know Lifehouse. Lifehouse is going to perform on that day. That is going to be absolutely incredible. Now, the game I'm going to talk to you about here was where we played the New England. They have a name. I don't know them. Anyway, we were able to defeat New England 17-12. They actually had a bigger lead at one point, and they started to catch up. They were blown out just the night before. The game's top players, Kyle Matisse has 7 total points. Lyle Thompson ended up with a hat trick. We had 2 or 3 guys that had them. They had hat tricks. In fact, all of Kyle Matisse's points were assists, and Mike Poulin had 30 total saves. It was definitely an incredible the Black Wolves, that's it. The New England Black Wolves? Did I get it? Yeah, the New England Black Wolves. Remember, I'm trying to learn a whole new league here, guys, so, you know, doing what I can. Now, also want to talk about, let's see, total goals this year. You know, some of the leaders for us. Because this game here, it was Native American Heritage Night. There were people from the Sunni, I think, tribe. And there were also some from the Cherokee tribe from North Carolina. I talked to a good handful of them. There was, they were all in all ranges of ages and backgrounds, and it was just great to be able to celebrate the heritage of lacrosse and the heritage of these great Native American tribes. just a fantastic night. I know I had a great time, and I know a lot of you guys had a great time. After the game were the Thompson twins and brothers, who were all there to sign autographs, and it was fantastic. Here we go. Stat leaders for your Georgia Swarm lacrosse team. Mike Poulin is the top goalie by far. He's played all but one game, I believe. 541 total saves. And Warren Hill, who is the backup, has 30 total saves. Your goal leader is Lyle Thompson, who has 30 this year. Shane Jackson, the captain, my captain, has 26. And Jesse King is popping in right at 24. Overall points is the captain again, Shane Jackson. He has 67 total points. Lyle Thompson has 64. Kyle Matisse has 52. Kyle Matisse is actually second on the team in assists with 40. Shane Jackson, the captain, with 41 total assists there, and Lyle Thompson with 34. This team is just lighting people up, and it is quite fantastic. Do want to give a shout-out. Met some more people from the front office. I met Brittany Cooper, who is the manager of season ticket sales and service. She was absolutely fantastic. Great meeting you, Brittany. Look forward to seeing you again up at the game. Just super, super girl. And shout out to Tabitha Turner, who is usually the sideline reporter. However, seeing as how the in-game host, Mr. Mark Owens, who was on just a week ago, he's not going to be able to make it to the next game. He has a prior commitment that he will be at. But I've heard that Tabitha will be the one to take over. So, Tabitha, I look forward to you running everything on the inside there. And as always, the Impact will be in the building if you need any assistance. Just want to throw that out there. And while we're talking Swarm, I do want to tell you that the next game is at home on the 8th, where we welcome in Toronto. I'm trying to find out what Toronto's name is. I do not know, but April 8th is going to be Faith and Family Night. The North Point Inside Out Band will be performing there. Should be a lot of fun. But while we're talking about Swarm, I want to go ahead and say that our sports club social media shout-out is Jeffrey Folds, or Jeff Folds. He is what every diehard fan wishes he was. He is a fantastic fan of the Swarm. He has become a good friend of mine. We talk a lot at the games. He always has great strategy tips and pointers. He is actually part of the reason I got to meet Brittany this time around. And I always look forward to our chats. And we usually have pretty good ones there, especially as we are talking with the players and such as well. So social media shout out tonight goes to Jeff Folds, Jeffrey Folds. I never seem to ask which one you go by. I keep calling you both. So I'm gonna go with Jeff. And also, Jeff, thank you for your service. So I want to throw those out there. He is the social media shout-out of the night. And definitely go Swarm. And we will see you, Jeff, on the 8th. Should be a lot of fun. Before I stop on the Swarm, there is a new streaming deal, kind of broadcast deal with Turner. Yep, Turner Media, those people, the people down the road from us. That's going to include the Swarm, where now it's going to be a lot easier to be able to see games and watch the Swarm. So definitely appreciate that. I think it's going to be a really, really cool thing. going to zip back through the NFL here, and I'll probably finish up by making Falcons fans mad at me for the probably 800th time.
It's funny because it's true.
Glad to know the producer's paying attention. But we'll get to that in a minute. There was a report at one point, and I'm going to get into why this would be a goofy thing and why it perturbed me a little bit. And then when I found out that it wasn't true, it perturbed me even more. There was a report that the NFL used the new catch rule that they just passed a couple days ago in the Super Bowl. Huh? You use a rule that didn't exist yet in a Super Bowl? Come to find out, that wasn't exactly the way it was supposed to go. No. What came out was that the NFL did not use the new catch rule in the Super Bowl. Which, to a point, I like, because you got to stick with the rules that you've used all year long. There's a great argument going on between an umpire and Brian Snitker right now, the head coach of the Braves. And if you guys can watch Fox Sports South here locally, you need to do it because he's about to get tossed. It's going to be great. Maybe not. I think they agreed to disagree. They agreed that I think Snitker wanted to see if that particular third base umpire agreed that a tennis ball is yellow. Oh, I think he called a balk, maybe. I don't know. Snicker wanted to know if that umpire thought the tennis ball was yellow. The umpire said, no, it is green. They decided to agree to disagree, and Snicker is back on the front step of the dugout. But let me go back to what I was saying. The NFL did the right thing in not making a new rule or not going by a new rule because you need to keep the same rule throughout the entire year. Oh, wait. The two catches in question, conveniently by Eagles players, were considered catches, which would actually go against the rule they had used all year long about catches. So this is why this perturbed me that much more. When even your announcers, at Chris Collinsworth, who studies the game more intently than the Untouchables did Al Capone, and when Al Michaels, who has forgotten more about this game than any of us will ever know, and has called this game for 30 years, probably more than that, when both of them look at each other and are just baffled, wow, that's a catch, and while the 999 other ones this year were not, that's a problem. That's a problem. Consistency. Get the call right or at least be consistent about it. Well, in both cases, they were wrong. In both cases, these were absolutely wrong. So I don't understand why the NFL just can't call a spade. They like to hide behind the shield. We all know they like to do that. That's fine. That's fine. I will definitely let that go. But now that we've got it fixed, can we just eliminate the gray area? There's a three-part thing. Basically, if you catch it, basically, if you make at least one football move afterwards and you secure it, it's considered a catch. Well, that sounds about right. In that case, Dez caught it. In that case, Calvin Johnson caught it. In that case, practically everybody else that you've said no to, including Jesse James, you're costing these guys money because if they make those catches, they move on to other rounds. They move on to bigger contracts. Costing these guys money. So, you know, they're not going to countersue you or sue you or anything like that. But this took way too long for the most simple part of the game. In football, you throw the ball and you catch the ball and then you run with it. The only other thing you possibly do to it is kick it. And that's a whole different thing. So I didn't understand why it took them this long to do it. Now they finally caught it. They've caught on to what it is, for lack of a better way to say it. They've tried to simplify it. It's still slightly muddy, but at least at this point, it should be cut and dry. You know, it should be cut and dry. We all know Peyton Manning was being courted by ESPN. He is being courted by Fox. if I had a way to contact him directly, then Impact Media would be courting him, but we don't. So if somebody wants to slide me that information, I would appreciate it. Is it worth a Longhorn steak dinner? Although Longhorn, the unofficial steakhouse of this place, just the way that Cracker Barrel is the unofficial breakfast spot of Impact Media. Love to make that official. But Peyton had turned down ESPN. Now he has turned down Fox. Now, Tom Benson's wife, whose name mistakes me, is it Kathy? Either way. Mrs. Benson has already said people are crazy if they think she's going to sell. So that's fine. But do I think Peyton could move into a front office within the next calendar year of a team? Yes, I absolutely do. Where? I don't know yet. That's something we're going to have to definitely look at. But he has turned down Fox. He's turned down ESPN. And I guess that's one thing we hold over those two places is he hasn't turned us down. Because we haven't formally offered. Unless he's listening right now. And then Peyton, we would love to have you here at Impact Media. You can even have my chair if you want it. You can have the chair. I'm still going to be the main host. But either way.
It's funny because it's true.
It is funny because it's true. Thanks, Homer. Peyton did turn down Fox. He's turned down ESPN. He's not going to play in the PGA like Tony Romo. So, you know. Now we're back to question marks on what Peyton Manning will do. I feel like we're going to find out pretty soon. The Josh McDaniels rule is something that the owners in the NFL talked about, and that is basically that if you're trying to hire a coach whose team is still alive in the season, who is still in the playoffs, such as what happened this year, then this rule would say that you can now officially hire them even while their other team is still playing. Because this year, they had an agreement in principle with Josh McDaniels, him and the Indianapolis Colts, Chris Ballard. Either way, the Colts have an agreement in place with Josh McDaniels that as soon as he's out, which would have been right after the Super Bowl, then, hey, walk in the door. It's now your office. Except for he ended up turning them down before he could actually sign. Huh. So then they get Frank Reich. Frank's probably a better fit. McDaniels apparently told the Colts, I've heard from their coach, their now coach, but from their actual GM, he said, Josh called, said he had some new information and that he no longer wanted to be the head coach. So he decided to pull out of that. But they ended up tabling this rule, which means that, A, either they don't want to enact it and it'll slowly disappear. This is the nice way of going, maybe not. Or, B, they're going to push it off to May so that they can really think about it and the owners may ultimately decide to do it. I think they should do it because it's the most ridiculous rule they have is that you can't sign a guy because he's still employed with another team. It's as far as in the playoffs, if the guy wants to sign, let him sign. He's an assistant. Happens in college all the time. Very rarely. Even Nick Saban usually doesn't block good assistants. He usually wishes them the best and goes and finds another one. There is a new rule that is catching a lot of buzz as well. This one is that if you lower your head to use the crown of your helmet basically as a weapon, but if you lower your head to cause a physical act, it is now subject to be a penalty. So safeties and corners that are trying to make a play on a free runner can no longer duck their head to make a touchdown-saving tackle. This also means running backs can't duck their head when they go through the line. You can't duck your head, which is the natural reaction. That's the worst part of this. Ducking your head is a natural reaction when there's going to be contact made. We'll see how this goes because you could practically call this, it's just like holding, it's just like pass interference. You could literally call any of these three on any given play. So we'll see exactly how lenient they are. in the way they call these. I think this is – I understand where they're going with this. They're eventually going to try to get rid of kickoffs probably within the next 2 to 3 years because of all the contact and the damage and the injuries that happen on kickoffs. I kind of get that too. Once again, don't really agree, but it is what it is. This is where this is going. They're planting the seed now so that when this thing starts to sprout, they can point at it and go, see, here's the numbers. We're getting rid of the kickoffs. We'll see what happens there. The Raiders did get their stadium plan approved for Las Vegas. So, Oakland, little bad timing on your part. If you're trying to keep the Raiders there, it's not going to happen. The interesting thing here to me is not that they are going to move to Las Vegas, because pretty much knew that. We all knew that at that point. Their stadium plan is approved. They get one more year in Oakland contractually, which would be next year. After next season, they still have an open season where we don't know where they're going to play their games, because contract-wise, they will have no agreement with the city of Oakland to play at the Coliseum, even if it's a dump. They still don't have the rights to play there after next season, and the place in Las Vegas will not be ready. So, not real sure. I like that it was approved, which means they could move, but I don't like that they don't really know where they're going to go. I guess we'll have to see exactly where they're going to go. They may have to try to split time with the 49ers in their place down there, because L.A.'s full. Not real sure where they're going to go. They may have to work out agreement with the Giants. Boy, that would be a crazy place to play. Moving on. Talked about the new catch rule a little bit. Here we go. This is one that was tabled. Here's the two things I was going to talk about last week, but didn't have time because we ended up having Mark Owens on a little longer than we previously thought. But at the same time, it ended up being fantastic, and that's why we let it go. The new Spring League. Try to get a name for it. It is the Alliance of American Football. The Alliance of American Football that will, this is not this spring league that Johnny Manziel is playing in. This is not the XFL. This is a completely different thing. The AAF is supposed to boot up next year. And, you know, maybe at that point Johnny Manziel's the big sign. They're going to have to sign some big guys, some big free agents to go there, because that's what helped the AFL before. What helps is when you can get the Herschel Walkers to play, you know, come out of college and play, or to cross over, which means the money's going to have to be there, and good luck on that. But this AAF, it's going to be a spring related, though. And that's what we're going to have to see about, is at some point, are people going to be able to get out of their contracts? So, like, if a running back has a really good week, can the Chargers say, hey, we want to sign you to our 90-man roster? Can they automatically leave and go to that, or should they have to finish the season? I think you should have them finish the season, just in the simple fact that that's honoring your contract. You know, I think that's something they're going to have to look into. But they're going to have to get some big names. We'll see. It might be some people that are out of the league that should be back in. And the Braves just won after a 3-run home run in the bottom of the ninth by Nick Markakis. Wow. It was a good shot, too. So, congratulations, Braves fans. You get a win on the board. You are tied with my Mets. Good luck. And game on. No, this AAF, it's an intriguing league because we don't know where they're going to play yet. It's something that I'm going to ask some people that I know in the football game, football business out in the Atlanta area, as to what stadiums could be used. I have a few suggestions. But we will get into that as it comes about. And, you know, the other thing I wanted to talk about last week, and I'm going to get into it a little bit here before I talk some Falcons, then we'll get out of here. The Houston Texans are really trying to almost remind everybody that they can be as good as anybody this year. You know, they signed the Honey Badger. They get J.J. Watt back and healthy. Whitney Merciless, my favorite, is going to be back. They're working on an extension with Jadeveon Clowney. Deshaun Watson's going to be back. They still have DeAndre Hopkins. They have a running game. You know, the Houston Texans, if Deshaun Watson doesn't get hurt last year, I think they really make a run at the Titans and the Jaguars. Honestly, I think the Jaguars are going to take a step back this year. And it's not going to have to do with Blake Bortles. It may, but probably not. Honestly, the way the AFC South is going to shake out is as follows. I think at the bottom is going to be the Indianapolis Colts. Hey, they're rebuilding. They need people, remember? I think your third-place team is going to be the Jacksonville Jaguars. Now, the top three are going to be closer than any, you know, within a game or so of each other. So I got Jaguars in third. I've got the Colts at fourth. I've got Tennessee at number two. I like Tennessee a lot. I really want to like them, but so far I just like them. I really, really like what Houston's doing. Big fan of Deshaun Watson from his college days over at Clemson. Big fan of Bill O'Brien, who finally gets his quarterback. And that defense, wow. They get rid of Brian Cushing, who can't pass a drug test to save his life. The other person, Brian, but you know that. And it's all PEDs, since his scouting report even has it from high school. So, is what it is there. That's public knowledge, so don't come at me. But they get rid of Brian Cushing, it actually makes their team better. They've got Clowney, they've got Watt, they've got Whitney Merciless. They got the Honey Badger on the back end. Last time I checked, they might be the new team to challenge New England in the AFC. So what do I think Houston's chances are in the AFC? I think they're already a perennial top five on paper. We will see once everything starts and injury-wise how people are. But if everybody stays healthy, this Houston Texans team can wreck people. And my goodness, can they wreck people. They didn't quite overspend on everything like the Rams are currently doing, where they're trying to do the Madden Bowl and sign every free agent available. But they're going to be pretty scary too. Now, Houston, I'm really, really interested to see how this plays out. Really, really interested to see how this plays out. I'm just saying, keep an eye on Houston. I like their chances this year. Can they beat the Patriots? Sure, anybody can win on any given day. As of right now, I would love to see that matchup. I don't know how it would play out, but I know I would tune in. That's must-watch TV right there. Lastly, I'm going to talk about the Atlanta Falcons, and I'm going to talk about, a lot of people have said, hey, Jeremy, hey, The Impact, hey, guy on that show, I answered all those. Why haven't my Falcons, because their teams are the Falcons, not mine, why are my Falcons not really signing a whole lot of people? I mean, they kind of got that lineman, or they got that offensive lineman guy, they signed the kind of backup tight end guy. But it doesn't seem like they're really trying to address their needs. Well, first of all, thanks for asking the questions. In fact, the text line has a few similar ones on it right now. But the Falcons are a lot like Green Bay, except for up until recently, the Falcons would sign some free agents. I like Green Bay. Green Bay's getting into the mix. Welcome to the party. Already in progress. But the Falcons aren't active in free agency. For a particular reason. It's because they can't get the Matt Ryan deal yet. Tom Condon, who is the agent of Matt Ryan, he is the agent, I think of Drew Brees and Kirk Cousins, he may be of Aaron Rodgers as well. No, I think Aaron Rodgers signed with, I don't know. I think he has a different one. But no, the Matt Ryan deal is what's holding up free agency, Falcons fans. This is totally my opinion, but it's based on a lot of facts. The fact that Matt Ryan is not in all that big of a hurry to get this deal going, it's holding up what Thomas Dimitrov can do with the cap money. Let's say they have $30 million in cap money, and you want to know if 20 of it is going to go towards Matt Ryan as a cap hit, is 25 of it, is 30 of it, is 35 of it, what's going to happen to sign him to his new deal? They don't know. The longer it goes, the less they don't know what they're playing with. They can't go after a big-time free agent, because if they do that, maybe they can't pay Matt Ryan, and that becomes a whole ordeal. What's holding up your Falcons is the fact that your quarterback, who has been a team player for the most part, is not being much of one right now. Matt, how much money have you made? I understand how the market goes, and I will never tell a player, don't try to get all the money you can. But at this point, you're holding up your team from being able to reload the places they need to reload and to fix what needs to be fixed. You know, we're fixing the broken. That's the name of this show this week, Fixing the Broken. The broken are some of the things like a tight end that can catch more than one pass a game. Maybe you had one of those, maybe you didn't. Some other interior linemen so that Matt Ryan has more protection, because people don't just attack on the edges anymore, they come up the middle. They do all kinds of things. They run around the edges. They run through the edges. They run up the middle. They get at Matt Ryan. At some point, you're going to have to pay Tevin Coleman, because Devontae Freeman, as big a contract as he has and as good as he is a number one. Tevin Coleman's probably a 1B. But at the same time, the injuries make you look the other way. So far, you're paying two receivers, and you're hoping to kind of draft and develop the rest. That's what everybody in the NFL does outside of, like, I think outside of like the Cowboys or something. I don't know. I can't remember. There's one team that does three. But no, you're paying Julio, fine. He's the one. Paying Sanu, hey, no problem there. He's the two. So you look around this team. What do you need? You need linebacker help. You need another defensive pass rusher. Even though you got Derek Shelby back, you need more than him at Beasley. You need help in the defensive back area. Your special teams is fine. But I got to side with Dimitrov here. TD had it perfectly set. He did not come out and say this publicly, but if you read through the lines of his answers, the reason why they can't be super active, man, I don't know if they want to be super active, but at least to have that option open. They can't do it because without Matt Ryan's deal, they don't know what's left in the pot. They don't. They don't know what's left in the pot. It's like when you're eating family dinner on a Sunday. I don't know if people still do that. We do occasionally. You're eating family dinner on a Sunday, and you know, maybe your dad hadn't made it yet. Matt hadn't made it over there yet. And your mom and maybe your grandparents and your brothers and sisters and everybody's over there and everybody's pretty much eating but your dad, because your dad's not there. Well, you don't know if you should go back for seconds because you want to leave enough for your dad. You don't know how much he's going to eat, but you got to leave enough just in case he'd want a bunch, but you don't know until he gets there. Well, here's the thing here. Matt Ryan, Falcons fans, is your perennial dad. He is your perennial father. And everybody else is eating, and the kids are all looking around, and everybody's looking around. Everybody wants to go back for seconds. Hey, some people may want to eat the first time, but we got to make sure dad gets his cut. But until he goes and gets his bowl of chili, until he goes and gets his piece of cornbread, until he goes and gets his fried pork chop, whatever he wants to get here, until he goes and gets his hamburger, the rest of us have to sit around and wait, because we don't know how much he's going to get, or you know, we want to make sure he gets his cut, but we want to, you know, what's it going to leave for the rest of us? So Matt, get in there, get this deal done so that the Falcons can move through, not move on, because they're staying with you, which they should. But so that the Falcons and Thomas Dimitrov and Dan Quinn can get on this free agent trail, can see who they need to draft, can pick up the people they need to, make the trades they need to. See, you can't even make trades because of cap-related things. You don't know what your cap's going to be because of this deal. So So you need to get in there, hash out this deal, let Dimitrov do his job, let Dan Quinn set everybody up. And that way, Falcons fans, you guys will be ready. Because the longer they wait on this, the more those other teams in your division, and especially in the NFC, are going to catch up and pass you. But, you know, is what it is. It is what it is. Falcons fans can get mad at me all they want. That's fine. But you guys know in your heart of hearts that I'm right. Shout out to the social media shout out of Jeff Folds. Once again, I will see you at the next Swarm game, bud. And as always, enjoy the conversations. Shout out to the Georgia Swarm, the Atlanta Falcons, and the recent winning Braves. That was pretty exciting. But I'm Jeremy the Impact York. This has been Sports Club. We will see you guys next week. Go Falcons. Go Swarm. Go Hawks. Go Braves. Go watch sports.
Shaking they boobies like Congo, man. I'm shaking the city like Quake. The haters blue in the face like John Joker. I'm breaking the cake, so let's make. I'm taking the game, the game's mine. Y'all witness the change, it's my time. Yeah, I'm new to the game, but y'all might wanna say you whack rap, stay like saving time. I can dance, homie, I don't do stuff. Y'all looking at something like a true player. A girl told me that a man that can dance might could possibly get down with the tool in his pants. Now I'm a lady, let me see it vibrate. And when it's over, you ain't gonna need your bird. Cause I'm a pro, make you bend your back low. Then the pound it real fast, just like the percolator.
Wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, yeah. 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 Wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble,
yeah.
Was that not clear without the bam? Yeah, okay. Bam! What?